At California Psychics, we know some people can't read the career warning signs, like your boss still not knowing your name.
You, Tina, Lisa, Sheila, whatever. Get that report to me by lunch, okay?
It's Carrie, ma'am?
Just get it done, Terry.
So talk to California Psychics and receive the career guidance you need. We only connect you with the very best, so guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM. I'm Scott Jagow. Happy to be here with Michelle Reeser West from Pointer Landscaping. She's done this a few times, I'm pretty sure.
Couple times.
Here to answer your questions. This is an at your service program, and I know you have questions because we're getting to the middle of summer almost, and there are a lot of things to think about with your garden and your yards. So the number to call is 314-436-7900. Again, 314-436-7900. That is the garden hotline. Michelle, happy 4th.
Thanks. I'm glad to see you came in today with all your fingers and your eyeballs are intact.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't mess around with that stuff. I stay far away from the fireworks.
Me either. I used to when I was younger, but it's like zero interest to me now. So I just am the cranky old lady that's complaining about how loud everything is. And I just wish everybody would go to bed.
Exactly. I'm the same. Maybe a sparkler back in the day. But
sure. Yeah. Sparklers are great.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and then today I'm on my way here. I'm just looking around the neighborhood with all the debris left behind. So I'm sure this afternoon when I walk the yard, I'll find some firework remnants, some sticks and some pieces that I'll have to clean up out of the garden today. But, you know, it's part of the deal, I guess.
Yeah. Otherwise, what are you guys doing at Pointer right now in terms of landscaping?
We're doing a lot of weeding. So much weeding right now. So it's kind of a time where we're, you know, we're definitely slowing down on planting. We're hopefully done with most of our planting projects. You know, we may have a few plants that go in here and there, but it's kind of past that point. The heat's here. So we want to slow down on planting. We're going to focus more on weeding and details in the gardening or maintenance department. And you know, our design build department never really stops. So they're working on all kinds of things. We're working on pergolas and pools and decks and things like that in that department. So just full steam ahead there. And the guys in the maintenance department get to have a little bit of a slowdown, a little bit of slower days where we're just kind of piddling around people's garden and deadheading and weeding and stuff like that. Just drinking a lot of water if we can.
Yeah,
looking for the shade.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm doing when I'm out there.
Well, you said planting is slowed down. What about fall planting? Are you getting ready for that?
For sure. So we are really starting to think about that and talking with our clients about, you know, what are our plans for the fall. Right now is actually a really great time to be thinking about all of that stuff, what kind of work that you want done, because that's going to be here before we know it, hopefully sooner than later, because I'm ready. I'm over the summer. But yeah, so September is a great time to do planting. September, October, really even into the winter, as long as that ground isn't frozen, we can plant. So right now is the best time to be planning. If we're starting to think about it in September, it's probably too late for us as a company to get you on the schedule. But right now is a great time to start thinking and ordering and planning for fall stuff, including bulbs. That's a good one to think about right now, too.
Bulbs.
Like fall, we plant the bulbs in the fall for spring, like tulips, daffodils, things like that, alliums. Anything that is a bulb that you want to plant or want to see blooming in the spring, we got to put those in the fall. So we typically do those around Thanksgiving time, but ordering and prepping for that is happening now. In fact, if you wait too much longer, some of the cool varieties, some of the more rare varieties of the tulips and daffodils will sell out pretty quickly. So if you're looking for something a little bit different, you might want to get those orders in sooner than later. But yeah, it's a great time to start looking at those catalogs that are coming in the mail. My favorite thing.
What's cool right now? For those varieties?
So they always, there's always something new and exciting. A lot of times it's just a color, just the newest trendy color. There's some kinds that have different types of petals or different margins. Maybe they have like some wavy margins, or they're double petals where they have, like tulips that aren't your traditional shapes. So it's just things like that. It's, it's different color combinations. Sometimes they have different mixes that people get excited about. But a lot of it's just what's in style or what's trendy at the moment.
The phone number to call, ask your question of Michelle, is 314-436-7900. Let's say good morning to John. You're on the Garden Hotline, John.
Hi, Michelle. I got a question about, speaking of fall, I'm going to be planting some grass seed in my front. It's facing the southeast, no sun, it's got sun all day. My question is, I'm looking at a fescue. What type of fescue, I know there's different types. What type of fescue would you recommend?
I am not a huge, I don't have a huge knowledge base on different grasses. But I know, from what I know, that using a blend is typically, a good idea. I wish Glenn Kramer was here to tell us all about that. But I think just using a blend, using a high quality seed, I think you get what you pay for. Spending a little bit of money, maybe going to our local nursery or something like that to get a little bit higher quality seed. And then, watering is really the key as well. So, it doesn't always matter what you're buying as much as your preparation and then the follow through with that. So making sure that you're consistently watering. Especially if you're in full sun all day long, it may be that you need to water multiple times a day. But really, I think just a blend, full sun blend with maybe a couple different kinds of fescue mixed in there.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your advice. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, John. The number 314-436-7900 to ask your question this morning of Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. We're going to continue with the phone calls after a short break. You're listening to 104.1 FM KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Garden Hotline on KMOX. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping here to answer your questions at 314-436-7900. Surely you are thinking about the middle of summer here and your garden and your yards, or what's coming up for the fall, or problems you're having with a tree or something like that. We're here to answer your questions, 314-436-7900. Michelle, off the air, you mentioned bagworms. What are they?
They're so gross, and they're so cool.
Okay.
We've been kind of watching for them because they, they can be, they're these little larvae that are that turn into a moth. But right now, they're in their little creepy, crawly larval phase. And they're munching on our plants, and then when they're eating these plants, they make a little sack or a bag. That's why they're called bagworms. to do the rest of their life cycle. And so once they make their bag, they will like kind of live in there and then they will emerge. It's kind of like a cocoon, like a butterfly would make, but they make it out of whatever they're eating. So they're here now. I saw some the other day for the first time this season, and they're really tiny at the moment. I think they're probably like a quarter of an inch right now. And then they'll make a bag that eventually will be like an inch or an inch and a half, but they can be pretty destructive to our plants because they're basically chewing off the leaves or the needles in order to make those bags. Yeah, and there's not just like one of them, like on this little, I saw it on a little blue spruce bird's nest shrub the other day, and they had like completely engulfed it. And one side of it within a couple of days, the client said she just noticed it. And within a couple of days, like one side of this thing was completely defoliated by these bagworms. So it's really important. A lot of times if it's a bigger plant, it's not that big of a deal. But if it's a huge infestation, it can completely defoliate, a shrub and kill it because it's unable to photosynthesize. But, we see it a lot on junipers. They really like junipers. I saw it, like I said, on a little blue spruce. They sometimes eat arborvitae, but they can feed on deciduous trees too. It's not just evergreens, but it does seem like they do like the evergreens a little bit more. But it's really gross. They're just out there munching, and you can see them working on that plant. And the way to get rid of them, the easiest way, if there's just a few of them, is just to kind of pick them off of the plant and then maybe drop them in a bucket of soapy water, and then they'll die. You can spray them right now when they're feeding, because their little larva, the little wormy guys are exposed. But once they're in the bag, once they're done making the bag and they're kind of in there, it's really hard to penetrate that bag. So it's spraying becomes, really difficult. So manual removal is typically the way to go.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures.
I know your face is so. I've been looking over at you, looking at the pictures, and your face is amazing.
I'm trying to understand what I'm looking at. These little bags look like they're assembled with pieces of a tree, or that's what it is, right? Uh-huh. And then these bagworms live in the little pods or whatever.
That's right.
The bags.
Yep. And then they emerge like a butterfly would. It's a moth, so it's basically doing its metamorphosis inside that bag. So it will emerge as a moth, a bagworm moth here. I don't even remember how long they're in there. I think they overwinter in those bags, and then in the spring when things warm up, they emerge again.
Yeah, I'm just amazed that a worm can make a bag that has leaves, twigs, bark, pine needles, berries, plant debris.
They're tough. They're tough little cocoons. Like sometimes when you're out trying to pick them off of a plant, they're attached so well to the tip of the plant, you almost have to use a pruner or something to get them off. But it's a creepy little amazing process. I mean, they're gross. Don't get me wrong. They're really gross. but they're also really cool to see them like building these little bags out on that. But they're also destructive. So you should definitely be scouting for those and picking those off if you can.
Yeah, it looks like those bags are pretty attached to the...
Yeah, if you're out there listening, you don't know what they look like, you should Google it. It's fun. Science, yay. Yeah.
No, it's amazing how many little creatures there are out there that we, hear about, the ones we know about, but then there's other ones like, what is a bagworm? I never heard of it.
Yeah, and, it's one of those things, it's one of the things that I'm constantly learning about is all these pest problems that we're having on our plants. But I went to school to get a degree in horticulture, and it was because I like plants, and I didn't realize how much I was going to be learning about bugs. And it's something, like I said, I'm still learning about. I'm constantly seeing new issues or learning about different bugs that are out in the garden. And not just pests. I mean, there's so many bugs that are beneficial to our gardens that you can learn about too. But it was an unexpected, twist in school when, you're taking classes about plants. And then I took a class called Pest and Disease. And you really start learning about, all the different bugs and critters out there that can cause us problem and, again, be beneficial as well.
So entomology.
Yeah.
Yeah, learning a lot about that.
Yeah.
Along with horticulture.
That's right.
The number to call, ask your question, is 314 416-7900. Are there any other pests, insects that people should be worried about right now?
Yeah, Japanese beetles are around right now. Those are kind of destructive as well in a similar manner. You know, the Japanese beetle will kind of skeletonize leaves. They feed on the leaves, and you'll go out and within, you know, a half a day, they can, you know, take over your plant and start skeletonizing, which just basically means they're eating all of the leaf material in between the veins of the plants, and they just leave the veins left on the plant. And if it's a bad enough infestation, that can, you know, really damage or kill your plants, or at least make them struggle a lot. And those you see a lot on roses. I'm seeing them a lot on roses. They like hibiscus. They like a lot of things, but and they're really gross. They're really gross too. They kind of look like June bugs, like the shape of a June bug, and their little legs feel, if you've ever had a June bug or touched a June bug, it feels like the same on your hands where their little legs attached to your finger. But they're beautiful bugs. They're like a emerald green color and a little bit iridescent on mixed with black, but they feed on your plants. And the easiest way to get rid of those too, if you just have a few on your rose bush, is to pick them off by hand and throw them in a bucket of soapy water, which is also kind of gross, but you can use your gloves if you need to. But again, spraying for this kind of thing, if you spray for these bugs, which people do, they are on a flowering plant, so I always hesitate to use chemicals or pesticides when a plant is in flower, because bees and other beneficial insects will be visiting those flowers as well, and you will kill off those beneficial bugs when you're killing the Japanese beetles. And, you know, it's really easy to just kind of hand pick them off. People also buy these hormone traps for the Japanese beetles, and I would really caution against those.
What is a hormone trap?
So beetles will put off their own hormones for mating, and they've kind of made a synthetic version of these hormones that they put in a trap or a bag that is supposed to draw these beetles into this trap, and then it kills them. But when it doesn't always, you know, capture every single bug that you're drawing into that area with those enticing scents. So you can actually entice way more beetles to your yard than you capture or kill. So it's not always recommended to use those traps. And if you do, you should put them in your neighbor's yard or right on your property line. Don't do that. Just don't use them, number one, or at least put them way at the back of your property or as far as away from your ornamental plants as you can.
You know, I caught a story the other day about fireflies.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I remember a lot of fireflies around this time of year. Mm-hmm. And according to a study in one of the scientific journals, they're declining. Their population is declining significantly.
Did it say why?
Well, it talked about temperature changes, climate mm-hmm. patterns, things like that. And also pesticides.
Pesticides, yep.
Yep. You were just talking about.
That's right. So pests or lightning bugs are underground. They're grubs. So a lot of people do that grub control in their lawn care applications. And part of what they kill are little lightning bug grubs. It's a sadness.
It is a sadness.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like you are, every time you use a pesticide, an insecticide, you're killing the bad bugs. And sometimes grubs are bad. For your pretty pristine green lawns, grubs are bad, but they also, you know, like there are ladybugs out or lightning bugs out there that come from grubs. So when you're doing those treatments, you're minimizing your lovely summer lightning bug display.
I don't remember the last time I saw one.
Yeah, I think, you know, it just depends on where you're at. There, I have seen a few this year, but it does seem like it's not as much as we're out there in your childhood, I guess.
The number to call to ask your question of Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping is 314-436-7900. Any other ones we need to worry about?
You know, right now we're having, I mean, those two are ones that are just emerging right now that are new.
The bagworms and the Japanese beetles.
Mm-hmm. And then we've been fighting all spring and really the last few years. It seems like it's been worse than ever, the spider mites. I know we talk about that on this show a lot, but spider mites are are really becoming, I think, a bigger problem. And, you know, we see them on boxwoods. We see them on all kinds of different plants, but they're really hard to control and get rid of. And they're not always, you know, a huge thing that's going to kill your plant, but over time they can really stress your plant out and it'll start to defoliate and change color. And, you know, that can lead to dieback and death if you don't get those under control.
I don't see anything cool about spider mites.
Spider mites aren't cool at all. They're little. You can barely even see them. They make ugly webs on your plants. They make your plants look, you know, funky colors, and they're just not cool at all. I'm not a fan of the spider.
They're just gross.
I'm an anti-spider mite, so we can kill those.
314-436-7900 is the garden hotline. Donna, good morning. You're on with Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle. I spoke with you around, been about 3 weeks ago regarding a columnar apple tree that I purchased. I'm a little concerned about it. I have it in a pot. It's 16 inches high, wide, and about 15 deep. I noticed it had some powdery mildew on it, so I sprayed it with a little mixture of vinegar and water, and that seemed to help some of that. But I'm also concerned that I don't see much growth going on with this guy. I'm just wanting to know your opinion. What should I do? Should I feed it? And also, how often should I water? I'm concerned maybe I'm giving it too much water since I have a couple leaves that are yellow. Can you help me out with this one?
Yeah, and I have a columnar apple tree in my yard as well, and it's not in a pot, it's planted, but it is on the struggle bus. So I totally feel your pain. So fruit trees are kind of finicky to me anyway. It's something I'm learning about. So I've been doing a little bit of research on mine to try to help out, but I've had a lot of issues with mine this year. It started with some aphids, which are some bugs that kind of got on there and really there was some leaf curl, there was some dieback, there was some issues with that. So I treated that earlier this year with some neem oil, which I talk about all the time on here. It's one of my go-to, my first line of defense, because it's an insecticide and a fungicide. So I treated with that, being very careful to get to the underside of the leaves. And then I eventually cut off some of the pieces that were just really heavily infested. And then I also have some fungal issues as well. I have some leaf spot going on and some powdery mildew. And it's just been a really awesome year for fungal issues. You know, this spring, it was really mild temperatures and very wet, which is a breeding ground for a lot of different types of fungus. And then we now are super hot, and we've had a little bit of rain here and there, which is also a breeding ground for other types of fungus. So it's just been a really fungusy year. So, once we have fungus on our plants, there's not a lot you can do other than cleaning up, maybe pruning some of it off if it's really heavily infested with fungus, or spraying with things like neem oil or stuff like that. A lot of times powdery mildew specifically isn't super harmful for our plants, so that's not always one that I will spray, because it's just aesthetic. And it typically, once those leaves fall off in the fall next year, hopefully we won't have the same problem, or we can do some dormant spraying before the plant leaves out to help with fungal issues throughout the year. But as far as watering goes, especially in the pot, it's really important to have consistent watering. Apples also need a lot of watering when they have fruit, when they've set fruit and they're trying to grow those fruit on. I'm not sure if you have any fruit on your tree yet, but consistent watering, you need to let that pot dry out a little bit. We don't want it to get completely dry, because that's also bad. But if it's constantly moist, that's also not great, especially for apples. They like a well-drained soil. They want to be watered, but they don't want to sit in it. So making sure that you have proper drainage in that pot and that you're letting it dry out in between. So I would say, and it depends on the size of your pot. Like, I can tell you to water every 3 days or 3 days a week, but if your pot's really small, you might need to water that once a day, maybe even twice a day if it's drying out really quickly. in full sun. So really you have to watch it. Anything that you have in a container, you just kind of have to watch and make a plan based on what's actually happening with the size of your pot, the temperature, how much sun it's getting. So again, we want to water it well, water it really thoroughly, making sure the whole root ball is getting wet, and then allowing it to dry out and then watering it again. So this time of year, you might be watering it every day. You might be watering every other day. You just kind of have to keep an eye on it.
I see. But still, I don't see much growth with this little guy. And I'm wondering, is that because of this fungus or, you know, whatever? I did see a small little bug on it chewing the leaf, and I got rid of that. But I'm just curious.
Yeah, so...
Do you need anything to keep it healthy?
Yeah, great. That's a great question. Also, this time of year for trees is not it's not a great time for fertilizing. So typically when we want to fertilize is in the early spring, late winter, early spring, and then you can do it again in the fall. So right now we don't actually want it to be pushing out a lot of new growth. We're in the heat of the summer. That kind of stresses things out. So no growth right now is actually okay. And plants don't always grow super vigorously when they're in pots as well. So if that continues to be an issue, you might think, let's ask this. How long has it been in the pot that it's in?
How long has it been? It's been since June 12th is when I planted it.
Okay, so then you should be fine as far as it being root bound. Every few years, you might need to upsize it or put it in a larger pot, but I don't think that's a problem. So,
what would be the maximum size pot for it? Since it's going to be an 8-foot tree. I thought this pot might work.
I mean, you probably could have, up to, I would say 24 to 36 inch wide. But okay. I would wait to fertilize till, do it twice a year, fertilize in the spring and the fall.
Okay. I'll take your advice. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Donna. The number is 314-436-7900. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment with Michelle Reeser-West of Pointer Landscaping on the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM, KMOX. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on this July 5th. Going to be hot today. Michelle Reeser-West is here from Pointer Landscaping answering your questions at 314-436-7900. Our next questioner is Matt. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How are you all today?
Doing pretty good.
I have some oak, shag bark hickory, and silver maples that I'm growing from seedlings. They're now about three seasons in. And I was just wondering, do I prune anything down towards the ground on those, or do I let nature take its course on how bushy they are?
That's really up to you. If you have a specific look that you're wanting, or an overall shape that you're wanting those to be, like if you're thinking down the road as they start to mature, right now is definitely the time to, start doing some minor pruning on those guys.
I have them in a lawn. It's a vacant lot that I bought next to my house, and I just kind of wanted to have a park-like setting where you can get under them, all that stuff.
Yeah, so it is the heat of the summer right now, so if you don't need to do any pruning at this very moment, I would probably wait till it either cools off or while they're dormant is actually the preferred time to do it. But you're getting the opportunity while they're young to kind of manipulate or to help them to be whatever shape and really ultimately size that you want. So pruning when they're young, when the little branches or the little side shoots are super small, is easier for them to, heal those types of wounds. So definitely training those in the shape and size that you want now is the way to go. And, watching that trunk, as they're growing and getting larger, potentially staking them so you know that they're growing in the right way, level or vertical, and not leaning to the left or right. So that will start being something that you want to think about as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Matt. The number, once again, is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Michelle, what else you got right now this time of year?
Right now, we are doing a lot of, you know, like I said, deadheading on perennials, especially. You know, that's something that a lot of times in my own personal yard, I always get behind with deadheading and with weeding. So I was actually out in my own yard a couple nights ago, and you know, I was just pruning back some. Salvia is a great one, is a good example. You know, salvia is a great perennial, pretty low maintenance, full sun, likes it hot and dry. So it does well at my house without a lot of care. But it is one that if you deadhead it, it does a lot better. It improves the appearance and it will promote more flowering. So one of the reasons, those are a couple reasons why we deadhead. And not all plants need, I mean, essentially none of them need to be deadheaded. But, you know, even your annuals need a little bit of grooming. Like petunias are a great example. Like once those flowers are done, once they've started to die back, pinching those off or cutting off those spent flower heads is, you know, it's kind of great to, like I said, help clean up the appearance and promote more flowers coming behind it. So I've been doing a lot of that. Our crews have been doing a lot of that. We deadhead roses, deadheading. We're going to start deadheading hydrangeas here soon. The macrophylla type hydrangeas have been blooming for a while, and that's one of the hydrangeas that we prune right after blooming. So we can also reduce the height of those. It's a great time on the macrophylla type hydrangeas to deadhead and maybe reduce the size of those. But that's a lot of what we're doing. It's kind of like this tedious little work that happens in the summertime is weeding and deadheading. But it's actually, I mean, for me, I don't have time to do it often and it's hot or whatever, but when you can get out in the garden, it's almost like a meditative thing to just be out there pulling weeds and deadheading. But we're doing a ton of that kind of stuff right now.
The number to call and ask your question of Michelle is 314-436-7900. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a minute. It's the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Back on the Garden Hotline with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, answering your questions at 314-436-7900. Let's say hello to Mary. Good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I have a question. I have a burning bush, but it's turned into more of a burning tree. And I was just wondering, I have two questions. One, is it okay to trim that back all the way currently? And then my leaves are already turning red so far this summer. So is that a problem?
So let's talk about pruning first. So burning bush, you can really prune any time of year. Burning bush is an invasive species, or it's becoming invasive in our woods. So it's one for me that I try to recommend removal if you can. We'll start with that. Get your chainsaw out is my first. No, it is my, you know, okay. So I do recommend removing that. If, like I said, if you can, they are becoming invasive. But in terms of actually pruning them and shaping them, you can prune burning bush any time of year. We are in the heat of the summer, so I probably wouldn't recommend doing a major pruning right now. Any pruning that you do right now, I would try to, you know, just keep to some shaping or maybe a light size reduction. And I hear that the leaves are red, which also tells me that the plant is struggling or under some kind of stress. So that would also tell me to probably not prune or not prune in a drastic or hard way because it's already under stress in some way, shape, or form. Typically, if you see some of that early fall color, it could be, you know, just typical stress from the weather and the temperature or the water that it's getting would be the number one thing. And if we think about, you know, this spring, we've had a ton of rain early, and now we're here in the heat of the summer. So we're actually seeing a lot of trees and shrubs that are showing some signs of fall color. And it could be a pest and disease issue. Burning bush do see a lot of spider mites, which we were talking about earlier in the show. That can cause discoloration. That doesn't always cause the early fall color, but it does It does create some yellowing or maybe even sometimes that reddish color. But so I would check to see, you know, is it infested with some kind of a critter? And you can do that by just going out and looking at the leaves, looking at the underside of the leaves, looking at different areas on the plants, not always the entire plant that has an insect infestation. And then if it's just stress from weather or overwatering, you know, I would just try to control that as much as possible with consistent watering. But you can't, you know, if it's in an extra wet area or if it's in an area that's holding water, has poor drainage, there's not a lot you can do about that other than, you know, getting that chainsaw out. No, I'm just joking. But if you do need to do a huge size reduction, a great time to do that is in fall or in the dormant, late fall as it's going dormant. You don't want to do it too early. But the best time of year to do a significant size reduction on that is going to be in the dormant. When the plant has gone dormant, even I would say February, early March would probably be when I would do it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That was great information.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Mary. Up next, we have Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Hi. Is that me?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I have a bunch of, they're about 35-year-old boxwoods that about a month ago, they were about 4 foot tall and getting hard to manage. I cut them way back, so they're only about, 3 foot tall now. And they're basically just kind of skeletonized, but you can see new growth coming out on them. My question is, should I try to fertilize those at all or just leave them as is and keep them watered? What do you think?
So for right now, I would just keep consistent watering. And 100%, I would fertilize those in the fall, so September, October timeframe. And a lot of times for boxwoods, we just use a product called Hollytone. It's available at most of our garden centers and hardware stores and big box stores. But it's a great product for hollies, for azaleas, for boxwoods. Anything that likes a slightly acidic fertilizer, but there's really simple instructions on how to apply that. And there's a spring rate for it and a fall rate. Typically in the fall, it's a little bit less than what we do in the spring. And then you really want to wait until after that plant is starting to go dormant. Most of the time when we're fertilizing things, you're telling the plant to make more, but really what we want in the fall is for it to take some of that down into its roots. So once plants are starting to go dormant, once you start seeing the deciduous trees are starting to change color a little bit, that's whenever I would do your fall fertilization and then do it again in the spring. And again, spring fertilization is going to be a little bit heavier, and you're going to want to do that right before it starts breaking dormancy. And then that will really help promote that new growth. But doing a hard cutback like that on an older boxwood is really beneficial. I think once that starts growing back for you, you're going to be much happier. You know, the plant's going to be healthier. We're allowing light to get to those inner branches, and you'll have all that lush new growth. So consistent watering right now, especially through this hot, dry time, and then spring, fall fertilization.
Okay, and is that Hollytone, is that a liquid or granular?
It's granular. It's in a, okay. It comes in a bag and it's super easy. I think it's like a half a cup in the fall per foot of growth or something like that. So if you cut it down to 3 foot, you'll put like a cup and a half or something like that around the base of the plant, work it into the soil. But the instructions are pretty simple on the bag.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Jim. We'll take one more call here in hour one before we get to hour two. The number for you to call in to get in line, 314-436-7900. Tom, you're up next.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. If you remember me from the past, I'm Tom the Banana Tree Man.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I planted both of my banana trees near my American flag in the front one's late spring, and one came up and one didn't. Is there any way specially to put them away for the wintertime?
Yeah, people have all different opinions about this, but from what I know, you're gonna want to wait for that first frost and everything to start kind of dying back or melting back after that first frost, and then people typically tend to cover them with some kind of mulch or leaf material. You know, I think mulch is probably a little bit denser, so cutting back that that trunk a little bit shorter, but letting it start kind of melting back from that frost on its own, and then cutting it back to, you know, I don't know, 12 inches, let's say. It's going to depend on how big the tree got. And then you're going to pile it high with leaf or mulch, and just kind of let it be for the winter, and it should come back for you, especially if we don't have a super hard winter. But I hope this doesn't initiate, you know, the 500 phone calls, and the rest of the show is going to be about banana trees, which is what it typically does. But yeah, a lot of mulch.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Tom. 314-436-7900. That's the Garden Hotline. Hour two coming up with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hour two of the Garden Hotline. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping answering your questions. The number to call to ask yours is 314-436-7900. Again, 314-436-7900. Last hour, we talked about bagworms, Michelle, and I had never heard of them. And it was fascinating to learn about them and their very strange-looking pods. You said they're kind of like butterflies, but they're actually a moth, right?
Correct.
And they're out right now, or they're coming out of their pods, or what?
They are in their larval stage, so they're in these little wormy stage where they're making those bags. So they're out there eating on your plants right now.
And do you know how long they stay in those bags before they fly away?
Yeah, they'll stay in those bags all winter, and then next spring they will emerge and become little moths.
Yeah. Well, those things that they make are look like they're really attached to the trees or flower. What are they on? Trees?
They're on trees and shrubs.
Yeah, and shrubs. And then they're just made of all the little materials.
Yeah, whatever plant they're on, that's what they're making their bags out of, all the little pieces from the plant. So they can look a little bit different. So if they're on a juniper and they've made it out of a juniper, then it's going to kind of look like those little needles from the juniper. But if they make it out of a deciduous tree, it's going to have little pieces of the leaves from that. So it looks... It's the same shape, but whatever the texture, whatever the contents that they're making it from is kind of what's on the outside of the bag. It's pretty cool.
Do they do damage?
Sure.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, they're eating your tree. So again, if you have one tree or shrub and it has 5 or 10 of these guys on it, you're probably not going to notice much of an impact. But you know, I was out and saw a big infestation on a 3-foot shrub on a blue spruce, and half of the plant had been defoliated, and blue spruce will not regenerate new needles, so that half of the plant will die, and then probably you know, the rest of the plant will struggle and may die, but it's going to certainly just look really weird and lopsided because half of that plant's not going to grow back. And they were not even done making their bag, so if that is left untreated, then they could completely defoliate you know, a shrub or a tree. And, you know, if that particular type of plant is not able to regenerate leaves or needles, then it's those branches are going to die.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Bagworms. How about that?
Uh-huh.
The number to call to ask your question of Michelle is 314-436-7900. Welcoming in now, Sharon. Good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I recently purchased fruit trees from a big box store. Would you recommend putting them in the ground right now? And if so, what would you do to help them survive the summer heat? Or should I leave them in their pots and plant them in the fall?
I could go either way on this. And because if you plant them in the ground, you're going to have to water them and take care of them. If you leave them in the pots, you're going to have to water them and take care of them. So I think you're totally fine to go ahead and plant them. In fact, planting them is going to probably offer them a little bit more protection, because if you forget to water them and they're in the ground, they have all that soil around them and hopefully a little bit of mulch to help out. But if you just leave them in the pots and you forget to water them, they can dry out and completely die much quicker. So if my scale is tipping in any direction, it's probably to go ahead and plant them. But again, if you're committed to making sure those pots don't dry out, you can leave them in till the fall, but totally fine to get them in the ground now, as long as you're consistently watering.
Great. Thank you for your guidance.
Yeah, good luck with those.
Thanks, Sharon, for calling in to the Garden Hotline with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. How about watering right now? We haven't had a ton of rain recently. We have some in the forecast. So what should people be doing right now in terms of watering?
You know, watering is such a hard topic, because everybody's yard is different. Everybody's soil type is different. We have different drainage. We also have different plants that require different amounts of watering. So there's no like blanket statement. You know, the biggest thing that I could say is that you need to monitor what your plants are looking like and what's happening in your particular yard. Do you have an irrigation system? Are you hand watering? Are your plants new? Are your plants established? You know, are they plants that can tolerate drought, or are they plants that need a little bit more watering than others? I mean, all of these are questions when I think about watering. And again, I can't give a blanket statement, but for watering, it's just all about watching, and your plants will tell you. You know, some plants will get a little bit droopy if they need water. Some will have a little bit of discoloration, but really I'm watching the soil. It's always important for most plants to let that soil dry out between waterings. You know, most plants don't like to have constant moisture around their roots or around the base So letting it dry out a little bit is a great thing. But we're in a really warm time where we may or may not have rain. Luckily we've had pretty adequate rainfall. We're not, in danger of drought at the moment. So I personally don't have, an irrigation system in my yard, and I've done very little watering to my established plants. But I'm out watering almost every day, all of the pots that I have around, anything that is not getting, you know, if it's under an overhang or on a porch or something like that, I'm definitely watering every day. And my vegetables, I'm watering those way more frequently. You know, every other day is what I'm doing with my vegetable garden, but I haven't done a single thing to anything in my garden beds. Any of my, you know, my perennials and my shrubs, I haven't done a lot of supplemental watering, but I don't have a lot of new plants either. So they're pretty established in my yard, and the few plants that I transplanted this spring or a couple that I might have had, you know, made some changes, I watered those for a few weeks. And to be honest, I haven't done a lot with those, but they seem to be doing fine. Again, we had a ton of rain this spring, and for the most part recently, you know, we've had some rain here and there. So watering is something that we need to monitor, but it's not necessarily something that I'm super concerned about at the moment, other than pots and veggies and new plantings.
Sure. Let's take another phone call at 314-436-7900. Good morning, Ruth. You're on the Garden Hotline with Michelle.
Yes, thank you. Michelle, what is your advice on fertilizing annuals now in this heat?
Yeah, that's a great question. Annuals, we typically, so annuals love this hot temperature. Most of our annuals are waiting for this heat to get here and aren't super bothered by the heat. In fact, they really like it. So annual fertilization is something that we tend to do every 3, maybe 4 weeks, depending on what kind of fertilizer you're using. Typically at the beginning of the season when I plant annuals, I'll use something like Osmocote or something that's a slow release, like pellet fertilizer, so that will last you know, several months within the pot. And then a lot of times we'll do like a water soluble type, you know, one of the big brands that is out there is like a Miracle-Gro type where you dissolve it into water and then water it into your pots. But those are really fast acting and don't last long in our soil. So those can be done every 3 to 4 weeks. So I would definitely recommend doing some kind of regular fertilization, because annuals we're planting for that big show, for the, all those flowers, and it takes a lot of energy and a lot of nutrients to keep those going. The other thing that that's doing is it's promoting a lot of growth. So as long as we're also grooming our annuals along with that, that's super helpful, because annuals can quickly, especially annuals in pots, can quickly get really big and unruly and start looking, you know, a little bit leggy sometimes if we're fertilizing too much. So along with your fertilization, I do recommend grooming. I think of something like Coleus, which is a great annual that we tend to put in our pots for like a foliage type of plant. But those guys get really big really quickly, especially if you're using a fertilizer. So cutting those back, Coleus you can cut back pretty darn hard and it will be just fine. So just making sure that you're deadheading, that you're pinching some plants back or even cutting it back a little bit to prevent that overgrowth from happening. But yeah, every 3 to 4 weeks I would say is a great thing for your annual pots.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, Ruth. 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, taking your calls, and we'll continue with your questions in just a moment on 104.1 FM, KMOX. It is the Garden Hotline, hour two on a warm Saturday morning, July 5th. Michelle Reeser-West is here from Pointer Landscaping, taking your questions about gardening and yards and trees and weeds at 314-436-7900. Ted, you're up next. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning. Yes, Michelle, I have 3 willow oak trees that I planted about 6-7 years ago. They're approximately 10 to 12 feet tall. They look great, but I noticed these hard shell nuts type looking things coming around the the tree stems, and I noticed other oaks have died from that. Is there anything I can use to spray to not kill those nodules?
So I don't know what kind of, and those are just little gulls. The willow oak tends to get the smaller ones, that they're not as big as some of the other ones that you see around on like pin oaks, right? Like, are the ones that you're seeing, they're bigger than like a pea size, but they're maybe the size smaller than a, I'm trying to think of what's the size, like a marble, maybe like size of a marble.
They almost look like a walnut encased in there. And I was told that there's a bug inside there that causes those to grow.
Correct.
And they eventually kill the tree.
Yeah, so so it is a wasp that's making those gulls, and there's many different types of wasps and other things that will lay the eggs in the tree, and that's kind of like the tree's response to the bug, the wasp, putting its eggs inside of it. So inside of those gulls are little wasps that are growing and feeding off of the tree, and then they hatch and emerge from those. Most of the time, by the time you see those gulls, the thing has been in there, you know, on some of the gulls, the wasp has been in your tree for a year before you've even noticed the gulls that are in there. It's really hard to have a pesticide that penetrates those woody growth. So it's super difficult to treat it with pesticides. What I do recommend is having an arborist come out and kind of evaluate how far along things are, how much of the canopy is affected, should those be pruned out, is there other things that can be done to protect the overall health of the tree. Most of the time, especially if it's the smaller gulls and not like these big golf ball size ones, and if it's a small enough infestation, then your tree is not necessarily going to die. A lot of times what will happen is that those gulls will girdle or choke the branches, and the tips of those will fall off, and it's not necessarily going to kill the entire tree. It will just kill the tip of those branches. Over time, if it continues to be an issue, your tree can be under a lot of stress, and it can start thinning. The canopy will get lighter. It may start dropping more and more branches. But your tree's relatively young, and most younger trees will bounce back a lot easier. With all of that being said, I really can't stress enough, anytime you have an issue like this with trees, you should always have a certified arborist out to come up with a plan in order to help either, like I said, with pruning, or there may be some kind of treatment they can do depending on what kind of gall it is. And again, without seeing a picture, I can't tell you what kind of wasp it is. And there are so many different kind of wasps and gulls that happen on trees that, you know, it's just super important. If these are high value trees that you, you know, want to keep around, which I suspect that you do, then having somebody out there who knows what's going on, and not just some tree guy, getting a certified arborist that really knows about plant health care and what should be done in these situations would be very beneficial, especially if it's not a huge infestation.
I pruned one of the trees closest to my house last fall, and I went out there probably 6 weeks ago, and I noticed three of them. Well, I went out there last Wednesday, and the infestation is unbelievable how much they've multiplied in just 6 to 8 weeks' time.
Yeah, and so definitely getting an arborist out there, I think, is the way to go, just because, you know, if this isn't something that necessarily should be like a DIY situation, especially for the long-term health of the tree. Having somebody that, you know, can help you manage this problem will be better long-term.
Yeah. My problem with that is, you know, I'm 100 miles out of St. Louis, and to find an arborist in this area is going to be very difficult. That's the reason I was curious.
Sure.
But I appreciate your thought and your answers, and I wish you the best, and stay cool today.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Thanks, Ted. 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline to ask your question of Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. Linda, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning. I have two questions, actually. The first one, I have big clumps of Dutch iris that are very healthy, but they're starting to go into my yard a lot further than I like. Is my only option just to keep digging them out?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best option. You know, iris will just keep spreading through those underground tubers. And, you know, manually removing, getting out there with the shovel is the best way to do it. I mean, I think technically you could probably cut them back and spray them with an herbicide. But I think the best way to do it is just get out there with a good old shovel and keep them in check. And iris need to be thinned, you know, every 3 to 5 years as well. You know, the crown of those, all of those tubers kind of mixed together and crunched together at the base, you know, is not really great for them. So every 3 to 5 years, they like to be thinned out. So I like to dig mine out and separate them. And, you know, you can give them to your friends or put them in the compost bin or whatever you need to do. But definitely just a sharp spade would be the best way to go.
Yeah, this one clump is probably 5 feet into my yard now.
Yeah, they can really get going, and it's really beneficial for the iris and, you know, like the future flowering, because if they get really, you know, overcrowded, they'll stop producing as many flowers over time as well.
Yeah, okay. My second question is, this time of year makes me crazy because the spring weed and feed that I put down on my lawn is wearing off and the weeds are coming back with a vengeance. And is there anything better I could have done in the spring to keep the weeds, the dandelions and everything gone all year, all summer anyway?
Just really reapplying the product, especially when we have such a, you know, a wet spring. You know, all of that stuff just stays in the soil or in your lawn. You know, until it kind of dissipates over time. So just reapplication after that first round of pre-emergent, you can, you know, apply it again, or do some spot spraying and things like that. So, you know, this year has been really difficult to keep weeds in check in our lawns. We're seeing a lot of nutsedge, a lot of other grass, grassy type weeds and violets and you know, clover and all of that. It's just been a really tough year for managing weeds in the lawn just because of how wet it is. So, you know, you can do multiple applications. So not just that first one in the spring.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So just kind of look at the temperature that is recommended on the bag.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Up next, we have Terry. Terry, you're on the Garden Hotline with Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi. I've got a beetle problem. They look like a Japanese beetle, but they're like twice the size, and they are hovering all over my backyard in the sunny area. I mean, I'm looking at them now, and there's probably 200 of them. I've been chasing them down with a butterfly net, getting my exercise, but I don't seem to be putting much of a dent in them. Is that a grub that's coming from the ground, or are you familiar with it?
I am not familiar with what kind of beetles those would be, but I mean, most beetles are do come from grubs underground. And I don't know. I mean, I know Japanese beetles are super active right now. Our June bugs are super active right now. But without seeing a picture, what color are they, or what do they look like when you're catching them?
They look just like a Japanese beetle, but they're at least 3 times larger than them, and they're larger than a June bug, but they're hovering about, you know, 2 inches, 3 inches from the sunny area. My neighbors, they have shade, and they're not in that at all, but I was just kind of wondering.
Yeah, I am not familiar. I am, however, picturing you out there with your butterfly net trying to capture them, getting your exercise. So that's kind of fun for me. But, you know, it might be something that you need to, you know, call an exterminator about or try to figure it out. Are they eating anything or causing any damage?
No, it doesn't look like it. I have silver linden that usually Japanese beetles, they just tear that up. But these don't really seem to be, you know, around that much. Some, but
Yeah. I mean, if they're not chewing on anything or causing any problems, I mean, most of the time bugs like that are like, they come in quickly and they leave quickly. I mean, even the Japanese beetle is only here for a few weeks or a couple of weeks. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could take a picture and try to find something on the internet that matches. But I'm going to have to do a little bit of research on that. And hopefully, maybe I can find something and talk about it next week.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for your help.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for calling, Terry. 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. We have a couple more segments to go, so if you want to ask your question of Michelle, hop on the line right now, and we'll come back to your phone calls after a short break on 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Garden Hotline on KMOX, Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, answering your questions, and the number to call to get yours on is 314-436-7900. Rose, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning, Michelle. I got to let a honeysuckle bush get out of control. It got to be about 10 feet across. It was in an open area, and we have dug it all up. How do I stop the roots from spreading? Do you recommend something I can spray on this plot of land now?
Yeah, so there's nothing specifically that I could recommend that you would just spray onto the ground to stop the roots, but if you did leave any of like the stump exposed, or as things grow back, you can use a couple different products. I mean, Roundup is a regular one, but typically just spraying Roundup on the leaves doesn't do a lot to the honeysuckle. But spraying it to like an exposed cut off branch, if there's some still remaining, or as it comes back, or if it does come back, you can kind of cut it off towards the base and then spray it with a Roundup mixture. And a lot of times, if you're using like the concentrated Roundup, you could make it a little hot, a little stronger than normal, and that could help a little bit. There's also a product called Tordon, T-O-R-D-O-N. That works really good with woody plants. And again, that's not something that you would spray in the soil that would affect the roots. That's something that you would put directly onto a fresh cut or a stump that will go back down into the roots and help from coming back. But really eradicating honeysuckle is like a marathon. So once you get it removed, as it's growing back, you're just going to have to take care of it in that way. But there's not really like a drench or something that I would recommend putting in the soil to kill the roots back.
Well, Roundup will have to be it, because like I said, we removed the whole thing. There's nothing but this big round plot of dirt. And every now and then, it still keeps coming up, and I keep cutting it down.
Well, I stay hydrated. It's going to be a long battle. But hopefully, you know, if it was one single plant, hopefully, you know, after a couple of regrowths and keeping it under control, hopefully that will get less for you over time.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thanks for calling in, Rose. Up next, we go to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Hi. Hey, I have about a 35-year-old little leaf linden tree that is, it's a beautiful tree. It's conical shaped, but it's constantly dropping, I guess it's their seeds or whatever, all year long. And then, of course, it drops its leaves in the fall. Is there anything that can be some kind of magic potion to prevent that from not the leaves dropping in the fall, but the little like BB kind of one leaf things that fall all summer long, if you know what I mean?
So I don't think there is. That's a good question. It might be a question for an arborist, if you call it an arborist. There are like, you know, there's some things like one of people's biggest pet peeves out there is the sweet gum tree and those sweet gum balls. And that's kind of a similar thing where that's kind of the fruit that you're talking about. You have the flower and the flower structure, and then it drops those flowers, which is messy, and then it creates the fruit or the seeds, which drops, and then that's messy, which is kind of a similar thing to sweet gum. And they do have a spray or a treatment that they do with sweet gum trees that you have to hit at like the exact perfect time that regulates like the growth hormones of a sweet gum, or it makes it so it doesn't flower and then it doesn't make the as much fruit. I don't think it's like a sure thing. Like, I think you still will get some. They might do a treatment like that for a linden, but it's nothing that I'm aware of. And I do think that they're not like it's not like an inexpensive process to have somebody come out and treat those. So it's probably, you know, how much are you willing to pay to not clean up that mess? But I think you could reach out to an arborist to see if there's some kind of a spray that they could apply or something like that to prohibit the growth of those flowers, or at least kill them off, or not kill them, but make it so they don't produce that fruit.
Yeah, well, maybe as you stated earlier, it's better to use a chainsaw.
Yeah. You know, if it's that much of an issue, that's also what we recommend for the sweet gums. You know, like they're super messy and people hate cleaning those up. And ultimately, one of the easiest things to do is to get rid of it and plant a less messy tree in its place.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Yep. Thank you very much.
Sorry I didn't have a magic potion for you, but I'll start working on that. It would be my retirement plan.
And there you go. I'll be your first customer. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling in, Jim. We have about 15 minutes left to take your question at 314-436-7900. And Michelle Reeser-West is from Pointer Landscaping taking your calls this morning. Again, it's 314-436-7900. The heat right now, what considerations should people have in terms of the temperatures when we're talking mid-90s to around 100 over the course of a period of time?
You know, I mean, the heat itself isn't always an issue during the day. You know, a lot of the things that we plant don't always like our overnight temperatures. When our overnight temperatures stay above, 80 degrees, that can be a little tough for some of our more northern plants that aren't used to, you know, the humidity and the warmer temperatures overnight. So some of them can struggle through that. But really, you know, consistent watering, keeping plants as healthy as possible will help when we reach these higher temperatures. But not a lot that you can do other than that. Planting, making selections before you plant. Like, I think about an arborvitae. It's an emerald green arborvitae is one that doesn't love it here. And we see a lot of dieback on those guys. And a lot of that's caused by our summer overnight temperatures. They just don't like it here. They prefer a cooler overnight temperature. So, planting the right plant for our area is probably the first step, and then just keeping things consistently watered.
We've got one more segment to go. Your questions for Michelle Reeser-West, 314-436-7900. Last chance on this July Saturday morning. I'm Scott Jagow. Glad to have you in on the Garden Hotline, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Last segment of Hour 2, Garden Hotline, Camo X, Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, answering your questions. 314-436-7900, the number to call if you want to get in before the show's over. Rebecca's up next. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, and thank you. I hesitated calling because it's admitting defeat, I think, but excuse me. I have a peach tree that is on the corner of my property, 7 years old. Has been doing wonderfully, but then the last 3 years, like 1 year, there were no peaches, and then maybe two. And then this year, there are a lot of peaches, but the leaves have fallen off the tree for the most part. And I saw at the beginning of the season, there was like this jelly-looking stuff that was coming around the trunk, and I put some special potting, some nutrients at the bottom. And I thought that helped, but then, so there are all these peaches. They're turning peach color, but I don't think it's right. I just wonder, what did I do wrong or what can I do to help it?
So, thank you for calling and admitting defeat. So one of the things I love about gardening and about, you know, the gardening community is that we learn so much from each other. And, you know, part of that is admitting defeat. When I was in college, I had a professor that said, you didn't really know a plant until you killed it three times. So you haven't killed it yet. So I think we still have a lot to learn. As far as the peach trees go, I planted one in my yard. I think this is my third season, and this is the first year that I've ever gotten to eat a peach from this tree. And I'm having similar issues the last couple of years. And I do think that, you know, we've had some really amazing spring weather that has made things a lot more difficult on some of our plants, and peaches are one. And it's because of all of these fungal issues. What you're describing this year seems very fungal with that leaf drop. And then... you know, it's super hard to treat and stay on top of. So I have a really weird peach tree that has been grafted. It's called a fruit salad tree. So I actually have three different types of peaches that are grafted onto one. So I only had one set of peaches that actually did well for me. And it did a similar thing where it had some peaches that grew on and then they fell off. Or the ones that did produce were only just a few of them this year. But I really think that, like, peach trees in particular, I think are really finicky and they get a lot of different kind of fungal things that can affect the fruiting and the fruit staying on the trees. And then as far as the gummy stuff that grows that was coming out of the trunk, I without seeing it, I can't tell for sure, but it sounds like gummosis, which is a natural thing that happens sometimes in our cherry trees and different fruit trees. And that typically isn't a big deal to see a little bit of that sticky gummy stuff coming out of the trunk of our fruit trees. So not super concerned with that. But a lot of times fruit trees do need some pruning and some thinning. So if you haven't done that, I would definitely recommend some pruning, especially some inner branches, because we need to have light penetration. We need to have airflow, and peaches can get really dense very quickly. So making sure you're doing annual pruning, in order to help with that circulation, which will, in turn help with the fungal issues. So, you know, I think fertilizing yearly is a great thing to do. And then the other thing that you can do is doing some dormant sprays of some kind of a fungicide or a dormant oil to help with some of those issues. Because a lot of what fungus is you need to do preventative treatments instead of treatments once it's there. So if you could do like a dormant spray before it leaves out or before it flowers, that can really help combat some of these fungal issues that we're seeing more regularly because of the weather that we're having. So I don't think that you should give up yet. I know that it's dropped some leaves for this season. I think this fall you could do some fertilization going into the fall, and then maybe again in late winter, early spring. But you know, just making sure that you're doing a dormant spray as well will definitely help with some of these pest and disease issues that you're seeing.
Thank you so much. Can I bother you with another question? I appreciate that, because I thought I was going to have to dig up my tree.
No,
but
go
may
ahead.
I ask you about, I know you talk about invasive things, and I purposely went to the store and bought strawberry honeysuckle a few years ago, and I love it. It's like so beautiful. So every time I hear people say they want to cut it up and tear it out, and it has these beautiful pink flowers, and I just wanted to say, I just want to give one vote for honeysuckle, because it's really, really pretty.
Not all honeysuckle is created equally. So we can give some honeysuckle the benefit of the doubt. There are some native honeysuckles that are really great. Most of the time when we're talking bad things about honeysuckle, it's our bush honeysuckle and then the Japanese honeysuckle that's an invasive vine. So not all honeysuckle are bad. We'll just put it out there right now. It's just those two types that we're having a major problem here in Missouri and other places.
All right. Well, this one is huge. I'm letting it spread, and it's probably 10 feet wide now, and I'm trying to, like, shape it and all that, but I built a trellis for it. But when I hear people saying, oh, rip it out, it's like, this is so beautiful. But okay, thank you so much. Have a blessed week.
You too.
Thanks for calling in, Rebecca. Up next, we have Lynn. Good morning, Lynn.
Yes, hi. Hey, I've got about 15 tomato plants in a row on a sunny side of my garden. And across the street, about 20 yards, there's a street light. And I'm wondering if that is affecting my first four tomato plants, because they're half the size and they're spindly. Does that light affect them on this end?
It shouldn't affect them a lot. You know, that's pretty far away. So, I mean, light pollution is a thing with some of our plants, and some plants are more sensitive than others to that light pollution, but I don't believe tomato plants are. I would think it would be more likely that there is some other kind of like environmental cause for those two or four that are at the beginning. It could be fungal. It could be that they have... they're getting, you know, slightly more something than the other plants, but I don't think it would be light. Is it
not
just
light.
Is it just they're a different size, or they're just not flowering as much, or what's going on with those?
They're not the same size, and the same thing happened last year. The first four or five plants on my east end of this row is half the size of my rest of them in the row, And the same thing happened last year, and I thought, well, maybe it's that street light across the street hitting his first ones on the end.
Was this the first 2 years you've had tomatoes here, or is just happened after?
No, this is about the fifth year.
That's super interesting. So, but it didn't do it the first few years. It just did it this last one.
The last 2 years, yes. That's why I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
Nothing else has changed, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that it's probably not the light, but it could be, like
light.
I said, a fungal issue or something else that's happening in that soil right there.
That's crazy. They're okay, but they're just half the size and spindly. But I still get tomatoes off them, but they don't look like as healthy as the rest of them. That's wondered.
All right. Well, good luck.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I think we have time for one more quick call. Tom, you're on the Garden Hotline with Michelle.
Hey, Michelle. Thanks for taking my call. You are the absolute best. Thank you for your knowledge and your effort there on Camo X.
Thank you. What's your question?
My two questions are this. Back to the caller that talked about the tomatoes. When I switched the side of my yard, of my tomatoes used to be on the west side of the yard. Now I have them on the east side of the yard. And I've got wonderful tomatoes. And I do have street lights and all that. But try to switch the sides of the yard to get more sunlight. I think that would help, number one. And my main question is this. Is it better to water your plants with rainwater, or is it better to water your plants with faucet water that has chemicals in it? Thank you.
I mean, your rainwater has potential to have chemicals and pollution in it as well. So I don't think there's a huge difference, you know, if you're on the city water or, you know, that kind of system, you're probably having less pollutants and less chemicals in that treated water than you are in the rainwater. But I mean, I maybe do both.
There's an answer right there.
Yeah.
Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, thanks for, as always, your highly intelligent answers.
I do my best.
You do your best. That's right. I'm Scott Jagel. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on KMOX.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth, for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.